Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading was extended by those two verses because the first eight verses was do not, do not, do not, do not, do not. And the pericope from Series B lectionary gives me those two verses that were added on the end, which says, forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. It's maybe somewhat confusing as to why there's so much of those do not statements in there, so I have to back up, and at some risk, I'm going to give you the whole letter of Ephesians in my 8 minutes. The consensus is that Paul is speaking to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians in Ephesus, that they should love one another in Christ because they of the circumcision and they of the uncircumcision are one in Christ because of what God in Christ has done for both groups. Now one group, but they didn't always act like they were one in Christ. There appear to be some who continually want to add on to what God has done for our salvation and make it something needful when it is not. So, recall St. Timothy works in Ephesus for that very reason, to eliminate the pressure to add things on to what is needful for salvation, which is only faith in Christ's atoning work for us. Throughout the letter, Paul gives thanks repeatedly for all that God has done for him, done for the Ephesians, and done for you. If we want a way to remember the content of the letter, we can think of the first chapters as related to sitting, your sitting. The middle chapters as related to walking. The reading was in the walking section. And the last chapter as related to standing. These are all words right out of the letter itself, and here we go. Paul is thrilled that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Through Christ we have redemption in his blood, forgiveness, and a home in the heavenly places. Of course, you know that both the Nicene and Apostles' Creeds speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is certainly true. It comes from Ephesians. As a result of Christ's sacrifice and through no work done by us, we are given an inheritance, a place with him in those very same heavenly places through faith. So Paul uses these words. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You probably noticed that by grace you have been saved is used twice in Ephesians, separated by only two verses. But God is the actor. By his grace through Christ, when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and believed in him, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. This is what Paul said to the Ephesians at the beginning of the letter. And it sets us up for the second part. But first, I have to say, I'm awfully happy that God is doing all there needs to be done for salvation, because if I was going to be in charge of it, I'd have to have a lot of do-overs, a lot of second chances. And with God, he needs none. He does it all perfectly. So Paul explains this to the Ephesians and says, you're all one in Christ, but not necessarily acting like it. I would guess that the vast majority of you know chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which repeats that we are saved by grace through faith and that it is not our doing. It is a gift, not the result of works. That's the end of the revelation of the sitting with God at his command at the right hand with our Savior Jesus Christ. That is given to us, not earned by us. Now the walking portion of the letter. And of course, since you maybe I would say half of you know verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul urges us to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, which is building up the body of Christ, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry until we all attain to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, that we would be instructed in a mature manner so that we would not be rocked and tossed about by waves of false doctrine and human cunning. Part of why Timothy was to be sent to Ephesus, so that we can all grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, the head of the church. So Paul continues. He's got these two groups, the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians. So he says, to you Gentiles of the flesh, you had nothing. You were separated from Christ, alienated to Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. You were far off. And for you former Jews, you were near, and you all together were brought near with God as the actor through the blood of Christ. We are both reconciled. Both groups are reconciled into one body through the cross of Christ. And did you know what the mystery of Christ is according to the letter of Ephesians? I didn't know it. This is almost a quote. The mystery of Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. It's a mystery, and we enjoy the benefit. Therefore, Paul urges us, and of course the Ephesians, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. There's only one body. We are together in Christ, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Not God A prime B, not do this, do not add this to being baptized, not that you need to add this to faith, not that you have to act this way in church and don't act that way in church. It's faith in Christ as your Savior through his cross and blood. Do not walk as the Gentiles do. Do not live the way the unbelievers do. Put away deceitful practices. Be renewed in the spirit of the mind. So having put away falsehood in general, in an all-encompassing kind of like living in falsehood, St. Paul tells us to speak the truth with our neighbor. And so in the reading he says things like, let the thief no longer steal, rather let him labor. Let him do honest work so that he will have something to share. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. And the commentators tell us that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit in baptism for the day of redemption. Do not turn away from God or deny him in word or deed. Paul lists these physical and mental issues and acts that Christians should avoid. These, however, are in the walking section. They do not and should never be read as rules that have to do with the saving, the sitting section of the letter. These are part of sanctification, where we walk in faith with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the walking, we are urged to be imitators, as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, being tender-hearted with one another, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave us. The Greek word is for imitate. It's very similar, if you make it into English letters, to mime. So we mime God by forgiving as he has forgiven. Finally, chapter 6, if you believe we're that far, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So therefore, fasten the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Three actions: sit, then walk, and now stand, so that we can resist the devil using the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. We are thankful, certainly I am thankful, that our relocation to the heavenly places is assured by what God does, not dependent on what I do. Happy about it, I hope you are, that you can trust in that. And being of one body in Christ, that we would build each other up while testing those who promote the speculations and the vain discussions, as mentioned in 1 Timothy, and act in love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in Christ, which is all that is needed. Grace be with you. Amen.